You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. 135,000 children are adopted in the United States annually. That's according to the National Center for Adoption. In fact, the center also states that 6 out of 10 Americans have some type of experience with adoption. Joining me live in studio is Dixie Weber. She is the National Director of Healthcare Programs for Family to Family. This is a national nonprofit. And joining us live by telephone is Treasure Valley mom and teacher Melissa Ireland. Welcome to the program, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And Melissa, thank you for taking time out of your day, because I know you're in the middle of the school day, so I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So, Dixie, tell me about the need when it comes for awareness around adoption. And what I mean by that is the language and the terminology.
Sure, absolutely. So my background is predominantly with healthcare. And usually healthcare does not have a lot of experience understanding what is accurate language for adoption. And so we tend to, like the community, use old language. But really that language is no longer accurate. So for example, we don't give babies up or put babies up for adoption. Accurate language would be that a woman makes an adoption plan or there's an adoption placement. And it really reflects the fact that placing your child for adoption is an intentional decision that you think through, that it's not a spur of the moment or a reflexive decision. And so I think for me, I help healthcare systems across the country really make sure that their healthcare providers are aware of the nuances of adoption and how to support those families.
And you with what you do, if I have this right, is you go across the country to hospitals, teaching them about language, but furthermore, how to interact, I would assume, with these families.
Yeah, and what we really do is we teach them that adoption is part of the grief process. So a woman that's making an adoption plan or placing her child for adoption is going through the grieving process. And healthcare does a beautiful job taking care of women during grief if there's an infant loss. But sometimes we don't use those same principles to take care of a woman who's making an adoption plan. And then also realizing that a family that is looking to adopt oftentimes has infertility in their background, and there's grief associated with that. So I help healthcare systems kind of flip their mindset into being a little bit more sensitive in the way we approach these families.
And Melissa, you and your husband, you have 4 children.
We do.
Adopted children. And how did you come to the decision to go through adoption?
Well, I think for us, it was something that has always been on the back burner in our minds. My husband's grandmother was adopted, and it was just something that I think, being a teacher, I see so many different kinds of families in my profession. It was something I was always wanting. I wanted to be a mom from the time I can remember. So for me and for my husband, it was something that just was a pretty natural decision. We stumbled upon it, not really stumbled, I guess. We just made that decision for us, just to explore. For me to go into other options to make a family just didn't seem right for us.
And you have all 4 of your children are African American. You are not. So
yes.
I am assuming you have probably gotten some awkward looks, some awkward comments. You know, how would you want people to ask? Because, you know, you are not the same race. So therefore, a lot of people are going to make the assumption your children were adopted. Is that an appropriate question to ask, Melissa? Or you know what I'm saying? Or
right.
How do you talk about this in a way that's acceptable, but also doesn't harm your children?
Right. We have had to have conversations with our children just to prepare them, because it does happen when no one is expecting it. It happens at the grocery store or at the library or even here at school. I've had people come up and ask me, or ask my children, where is your parent? Where is your mother? When I am standing right there with my children. So, yes, we've been in those very awkward conversations. And I think I have processed over the years the different emotions that go with those awkward conversations. To being offended, to being embarrassed, to being ashamed, to then finally just standing up and being very forward with that person. But then I also try to take in mind that they most of the time are not meaning to come across in a rude way. And I try to give everyone the benefit of the doubt and help just explain to them that, yes, this is my child. I am the mother. Yes, my children are adopted. It is definitely not a secret in our family that our children are adopted. They don't look like us, but we have done our very best to help prepare our children as well to answer, to speak up for themselves and answer if they are asked questions.
I'm speaking with Dixie Weber, National Director of Healthcare Programs for Family to Family, and joining us by phone is Treasure Valley mom and teacher Melissa Ireland. And Dixie, you know, part of it too is it's not just the language around, you know, oh, they've been put up for adoption or, you know, things like that, but also the types of adoption.
Absolutely.
There is, because even when we think about that idea of 6 in 10 Americans have somehow had some contact with adoption, mm-hmm. there are different types of adoptions.
There are, and I think there's a lot of misunderstanding around it. So if you think about it, 50% of all pregnancies are unintended pregnancies. Of those that are unintended, about half end in abortion, half will continue on that pregnancy, but only 1% will place their newborn for adoption. It's really, really low. And part of that has to do with the fact that healthcare providers don't often offer the option of adoption because they don't know what's out there and they don't know what the options are. When we look back 20 years, adoption is very different today than it was then. Most adoptions are open, meaning that the birth parent and the adoptive parents have exchanged personal information and have a relationship. What that relationship looks like depends on those people within that adoption placement, but we used to have adoptions that were predominantly closed. So many of the women in our community from the 50s, 60s, and 70s were sent to maternity homes, and those children were born behind, you know, closed doors. Mm-hmm. They never interacted with their child. There was no hope for further connection. And now we're seeing with all of the genetic, you know, review that you can do, as well as the ability to connect via any sort of the ancestry.com, that those women are being found by their children. And so it's been really interesting to be able to talk to healthcare providers and say adoption is very different today than it used mm-hmm. to be. Used to be very secretive and very shameful, and adoption is an open process today, and it's about a relationship.
And that also goes back to the psychological benefits, but also the negative psychological effects that can happen to a child who is adopted.
Mm-hmm.
If this is closed, and if they don't know, and then if we use terminology like you were given up,
right,
that has lifetime, long-lasting
absolutely.
effects.
Absolutely. I think there is also a misnomer that children who are adopted early in their lives are not going to have any sort of traumatic experience or traumatic history, and it's just inaccurate. We know that all children who have gone through the adoption process do have some level of trauma experience, and so being a parent who's informed also about trauma-informed care will help those that are seeking to adopt or becoming adopting parents. But I think for our children, you know, most people want to know their background. They want to know their story, and it becomes a part of who they are. And I believe genealogy is like the second most popular hobby in the country. And so why would we not want our children that came home through adoption to understand their story?
And Melissa, as a mom, but also as a teacher, how important is it to you that the community in general learns the right terminology, but also that there are open conversations around adoption?
Well, I think it's super important. I want my kids to feel just as valued in their community as if they were my biological children. There should not be a difference in how all children are treated and welcomed within their community. So language is critical, because a subtle difference in how you phrase your sentence can have a child feel valued or not.
I agree. It's interesting that you say that. I have a sister who is adopted, and to this day, she still says, you know, when Dad always said, I love you just like you were my own.
Mm.
And as an adult, you know, she's like, I know what he meant.
Right.
Yep.
I know what he meant.
But
it's that but. And it's
yeah.
and it's getting rid of that type of terminology. And it's interesting to me, Dixie, that you're going into these healthcare facilities and teaching this, because I think there is a large assumption that if you're dealing with doctors and nurses, that they know.
Yeah. Unfortunately, for most nursing schools and medical schools, there is zero content within the adoption and sensitivity around, you know, adoption placements and really what's the updated language for adoption. And so we have found that at St. Luke's, we have one of the most comprehensive programs in the country. And really, it became from the fact that the community told us, we need you to be a little bit more sensitive in how you do this. And so 5 years ago, we started a journey that was based off of the national nonprofit that I'm now with, Family to Families Program, which started in Parker, Colorado, looking at how do we teach healthcare to handle this situation better in a neutral, compassionate manner. I think what Melissa said was really important, though. When people are asking, you know, where's your mother? They're really asking, are these your biological children? Mm-hmm. You know, how did this child come to be in your household? And so we teach healthcare providers to say, you know, if you're going to introduce a family, you want to say, this is my biological child and this is my child that came home through adoption. Or better yet, these are my children.
These are my children.
Exactly. And so kind of teaching that process, because people are curious and they are interested in how you came to be as a family. But you think about our families today have all different shapes, right? Mm-hmm. We have step-parents and step-grandparents and whatnot. And so they're far more complex than they used to be. And having children that came home through adoption is one of those avenues. But they are, at the end of the day, our children.
And that is the critical point right
yes.
there. I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking about this. My guest, Dixie Weber, she is the National Director of Healthcare Programs for Family to Family. It is a national nonprofit. And live by telephone today, Treasure Valley mom and teacher Melissa Ireland talking about adoption awareness. Appreciate the conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you.